Of all the perfectly cromulent disc golf podcasts you could be listening to, you've chosen the Fish Golf Broadcast. Shove that in your ears. On this episode of the Fish Golf Broadcast, I welcome back Joey Tamale, who is our guest on a recent episode, to talk about the AL. I got some feedback last year that people really liked these baseball previews, even if they didn't like baseball. Baseball is a beautiful game. It has wonderful game design. You have to finish the season. You have to finish every game. You have to finish every inning. There's no incentive to foul. The subjectivity of balls and strikes is way less than pass interference. Baseball is a better game design than any other professional sport being played right now. Full stop. Joey, what you thinking about?
Man, I'm thinking about how much I agree with that statement. I think that baseball has been in my life basically since I could walk. I think I played for my first t-ball team when I was 4, and everybody else on the team was 6 or 7. And yeah, I told you off record, this is a dream come true for me. When you invited me on to talk about baseball, I was instantly excited because I think I like baseball more than disc golf as like a fan of a sport, because obviously disc golf is my job, and I think every good disc golfer has a side thing that they love to watch, and for me, baseball is at the top of that pyramid.
There you go. Before we get going, can you disclose your biases?
Twins. Okay. They are my bias.
Pro Twins.
Yes, we love the Twins. They've pained me for many years. They'll probably continue to do so, but I stick by them because I am a loyal fan, and that's what fans should be.
Absolutely. None of this jumping on the bandwagon.
Mm-hmm. None of that.
None of that. I am a Braves fan. I have minor rooting interests in the Mariners dating back to Ken Griffey Jr. and Edgar Martinez, and the Orioles because it makes my friends happy when they win, and I root against the Ravens for a converse reason.
Mm. I mean, for me, I always tell this to people. As a Minnesota sports fan, if you really want to appreciate sports and you really want to be a fan, you have to enjoy other teams winning, because if you're going to be a Minnesota sports fan, you're going to experience a lot of defeat and a lot of kind of getting your heart ripped out and a lot of like, what are we doing? And so for me, I play fantasy sports in all other aspects. I play fantasy baseball. We have our draft. We're got a little disorganized, but we're going to draft after opening day. But you have to appreciate everything else going on. And so for the last like 10 years, I've really just enjoyed baseball in general and like just appreciated every player and team for their own right. And then if the Twins happen to do something noteworthy, I'm excited.
Yeah, that's a very healthy outlook on it. Like, we should be rooting for franchises that make fun teams with players you can root for. Like, that's all you can ask for as a fan. So it's just so, I'll give the Athletics as an example. Our rule on the Fish Golf Broadcast for this 2024 season preview is we are going to spend exactly as much time on a team as they deserve. If you've created an unfun team with nobody that's interesting to root for, you're not trying to be competitive in a particular window of time, fuck you. Like, what's the point of owning a professional sports team if you're doing it only for profits?
And I think that the profit thing is like, I mean, it really depends on where you are, because in some places, like, you're probably not, I mean, you're not going to make as much money. I don't know what the turnaround is for the New York Mets, but I love the way Steve Cohen runs a team because he wants to win. Like, I really can't fault Steve Cohen or other owners that go out and spend money. Those are the guys we should appreciate, and because they want to win, they are trying to win, and all you should ask of your owner is that they put a squad on the diamond on opening day that has a chance to make the playoffs if that's where you are as a team.
I think in that sense, we should start in the AL East with maybe the team whose competitive window is the most wide open right now, the Baltimore Orioles.
Unbelievable team. They really kind of surprised us last year. I think 2 years ago we were starting to say, okay, like, there's some kids on this team, Gunnar Henderson, Jackson Holliday, Adley Rutschman. They have a lot of young talent, Cedric Mullins. And then last year, they just sort of blew everybody away. I mean, they ran away with the AL East. I mean, they held that lead the entire season, and their pitching was phenomenal. Their bullpen Bautista at the back end. I love that guy. And
unfortunately injured for...
Yeah, I know. And same with another big hit for them is Kyle Bradish. Mm-hmm. He's going to be out, did they say?
I think it's at least a month or two.
Yeah, okay.
And John Means is going to be coming back, I think, in the second half.
Right, because he's coming back from TJ.
Yes.
Yeah, so Orioles, fantastic. I mean, obviously, the biggest move they made this offseason was trading for Corbin Burns. Like, fantastic.
And that's huge.
That's huge.
I immediately started texting friends that this is wonderful for you. Mm-hmm. This is a front of the rotation starter who like has Cy Young top five finishes, who's going to give you 180 innings, who strikes out 12 per nine.
And he doesn't give up homers.
Uh-uh.
Doesn't give up homers, and he has good defense behind him now. And no, I mean, it's exactly the move that a team in that position following that kind of a season should make. It's the move that you want your team to make after they do what they did last year, which was fantastic regular season. Did they win 101 games, and then they bow out in the playoffs. And I mean, you know, did we want to see a Cinderella run? Sure, of course. But, you know, experienced playoff teams means a hell of a lot in the playoffs. And I wouldn't say that the Orioles fans should look at last season as a disappointment, considering how well they played in the regular season. I think maybe some of them were like, oh, man, like I wanted to see us win a series. But those teams get tough in those five-game sets, the guys you're playing, the teams that have made it.
No doubt. And they ran up against a pretty experienced squad. And now they can be the ones who know what it's like to go into a playoff series with that energy.
Mm-hmm.
I think a very critical offseason move is that the former owner, Peter Angelos, died, which is a shame. But now they are majority owned by another Baltimore businessman. I cannot remember his name at mm-hmm. this time. There was the Burns trade occurred right after they agreed to do that majority sale. Mm-hmm. They have a new lease for Camden Yards negotiated with the Baltimore Stadium Authority. And that's some long-term financial security. They're still kind of fighting with Masson over, you know, broadcasting O's games over the air. But you hope that the teardown that was initiated several years ago, following what the Astros had done and hiring Mike Elias from the Astros, is the template where this new ownership will say, we have the young, cost-controlled talent. Now it's time to add some pieces. I would have liked to see them add like one more starting pitcher, but there's still the deadline. Mm-hmm. You wait and see how your young talent develops, and then maybe you try to pick up somebody from a non-contender.
I mean, my biggest fear about the Orioles last year was the owner, because he came out publicly and said, we can't keep all these young guys once they hit their big, like once we lose them off of their rookie contract. And I was just like, God, you hate to hear the owners say that stuff. And that Corbin trade does not happen with the old owner. So I think, actually, I will contradict myself and say that that ownership change was the biggest move they made that offseason. I mean, that is like one of the most relaxing things you can feel as a fan base, is that you get a new guy in who wants to spend, and the first thing he does is trade for arguably one of the best pitchers in the National League, Cy Young Award winner, Corbin Burns. I mean, that is an ace at the top of your lineup. That guy can go up against Garrett Cole. That guy can go up against all the best pitchers. That's your one now. And you have time for Bradish to come back. John Means, I mean, he was highly touted before he tore his UCL. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I had him on some fantasy teams. He was pitching well. Grayson Rodriguez, everybody's really hyped about. He had a really good second half last year. So I think that biggest kind of hole that they are going to really miss is Bautista at the back end. They added Kimbrel, right?
Which is so dumb. Don't spend. if you're talking about saving money because you can't pay your kids, don't spend $13 million on Craig Kimbrel.
Yeah.
He's going to be a heart attack every time he comes out to play.
Yeah.
He nearly gets left off of postseason rosters. He's a home run waiting to happen. I don't understand that.
I'm surprised he continues to get those deals at that age.
Yeah.
I felt like after the Cubs, like we kind of knew what we had with him, but the Phillies took him, and I think he minorly resurrected some trust in some clubs in the playoffs with the Phillies just because he had some decent outings. But yeah, I mean, in my opinion,
it's not worth it.
Yeah,
like
it's
there,
not.
There are much better ways to spend $13 million on, mm-hmm. you know, two or three reclamation projects of mm-hmm. relievers that you can send to AAA and see who's doing well.
Right, totally. But overall, loving the Orioles. They definitely, at least for me, they grade out at like an A+ on my gut grading scale.
Sure.
I think that they are going to be super competitive in the AL East. I mean, for me, expectations for the Orioles is be competitive in the division. Obviously, 101 games. I mean, you can be a good team and not win 101 games. So I would say if you're the Orioles, 90 games, that's what you want to win this year at least. And you want to make the playoffs. And, you know, obviously, like, if you're going to try to improve on last year, you want to be competitive in a playoff series. I mean, whether or not you win it, at least push somebody to five games.
And having depth is what gets you through the season. Having top-end talent is what gets you through playoff season or playoff series right mm-hmm. now.
It's funny how different it is because the regular season is such a marathon. I mean, it is similar to a disc golf round, right? Like, each throw is like its own individual game, but in reality it's like all 60 throws put together that makes your round, and that's what counts. And then, you know, once you get into the playoffs, that all of that work is completely erased, and now it's like, can you win these tight series against competitive teams? And then it does come down to, are your top guys ready to go? And I think that Corbin Byrne moves is huge for playoff series because you just have a stopper. You have a 1A guy at the top of your lineup that you can throw against anybody, and in theory he should be toe to toe with any pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, totally agree. Okay, where do you want to go next?
I would just continue along in our AL East. New York Yankees, maybe go up to the Bronx.
Okay. It seems like there's very mixed opinion on what the Yankees are going to be. Gerrit Cole is out for an undisclosed amount of time with an undisclosed shoulder issue. They traded for Juan Soto,
mm-hmm.
which is wild. So you're pairing Juan Soto with Aaron Judge. Boy, that's lineup protection.
Mm-hmm.
Giancarlo Stanton, if he can stay healthy, hits the ball fairly hard, but he mm-hmm. also whiffs a ton. Mm-hmm. He actually had a really high or really bad barrel rate. It's just that when he does connect, it still goes far.
Mm-hmm.
They've Anthony Rizzo, hopefully healthy. Anthony Volpe is a very, very good shortstop. Gleyber mm-hmm. Torres is solid. I kind of don't believe in these guys.
I mean, it's their pitching that scares me personally, and it's the misses on the pitching that's really. I mean, it sucked for Yankees fans. I mean, Gerrit Cole, that's unfortunate. Gerrit's been everything they asked him to be. He's been the ace that they wanted. He was Cy Young last year. Obviously, the injury sucks. It really sucks, in my opinion, because Carlos Rodon has been an absolute disaster. I mean, they gave him $160 million after a pretty decent walk year in San Francisco. He had a good season. And then last year, he was a mess when he was healthy, even. I think it was a 4-something ERA. And
it's the same deal with Nestor Cortez. He had a really solid 22, mm-hmm. and then last year, couldn't do anything.
And he's their ace. So I was actually at opening day at Minute Maid Park, Yankees Astros. And yeah, Nestor was the opening day starter. And actually the Yankees squeaked out a 5-4 win late. There was a controversial play at the plate. Nice throw from, I guess it was Judge in right field.
Soto.
It was Soto? Oh yeah, they moved him.
Somehow that noodle arm got all the way there.
Yeah, yeah. But I love the Soto move personally. I think that's what they needed. They needed lefty bats. They needed Soto. Is when he's right, he's a like unbelievable talent. He was obviously like one of the young superstars that we all saw coming up. I definitely think he had some plateauing in San Diego, but then last year, the second half, I felt like he really kind of came back to what we know him to be. And then I feel like he hit well in the playoffs. So I think Soto is a top five hitter in baseball, and that's a huge addition for them. We will see if they extend him. I imagine that's like why they did the trade, but that remains to be seen. Obviously, you know, if their season starts to go in a wrong direction, who knows what might happen with Juan Soto. But, you know, Judge and Soto are two of the top five hitters in baseball. Aaron Judge is unbelievable. He's their king. He's amazing. So the lineup definitely doesn't scare me a ton because I feel like collectively amongst those nine guys, they're going to put up 4 to 5 runs a game. It's just the pitching, that's the concerning end for me. I don't love the starting rotation. I don't love the bullpen. And they're in the most competitive division in the American League. You could argue the West is also competitive, but I think the AL East is those all five teams are competitive every year, basically. So I don't think they have enough to be clear favorites. I think that for the Yankees making the playoffs, obviously they have separate expectations than the rest of teams in baseball.
Irrational expectations.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, they are on a gigantic drought. Last time they made the World Series was 2010.
11.
That is starting to become a real thing in Yankeeville.
And their thing was always, you know, buying big free agents. Their payroll is still enormous, but the talent pipeline, especially on the pitching side, hasn't really been there. And it's kind of weird that they traded away Michael King, who was major league ready, to the Padres to get Juan Soto.
And they just gave away Montgomery too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was 2 years ago at the deadline to the Cardinals, and he's turned out to be great. And then he just signed a 1 year with Arizona.
That's an opt-in.
A great pickup.
Yep.
For the Snakes.
All right. What's up next?
Well, you want to stay in the East? All right. Let's go Boston. Let's go north to the arch rivals.
I kind of feel like there's not that much worth talking about here.
Not a lot.
Brian Bello extension is big for them. That gets, you know, that secures young talent, which they have not been very good at doing. Yep. Rafael Devers is the only player that they've done. And you look at how they let Betts and Bogarts walk.
Yeah, I thought those were both bad moves. I don't really understand exactly like what the Red Sox are doing. They haven't had the greatest last few years. I think Tristan Casas is interesting. He's a young guy they really like. And then they went and got, they just have a weird roster. Justin Turner is still there, or he's not there. Where'd he go?
He signed as a free agent 1 year with the Blue Jays.
Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. And then I look at the Red Sox and I really feel bad for Devers. I feel like he's like a superstar on a team that has little hope of making the playoffs. I don't really love what I see in the rotation.
They had one of the worst ERAs among their starting staffs of any team in baseball last year.
Right.
And I don't think it got appreciably better.
Yeah, and they spent so much time and money on Chris Sale and they just let him go to your boys. Like a playoff.
Sale did what he was paid to do in the early part of his contract.
Right.
And then just got hurt.
Yeah, like, exactly.
When you're 6'5", 170, that happens or something.
Yes, I watch the way he pitches and I'm like, okay, I guess I get it. But I have a hard time seeing this team stay above 500. If it was not the balanced schedule, I would have a really hard time seeing it, especially in division. If they finish anywhere better than fourth place, that's a win for the Red Sox.
Probably. A couple quick hits here. Trevor Story, can he stay healthy?
Tyler O'Neill,
they picked him up from the Cards. I think he's a really strong player who was just not appreciated by Ollie Marmol in St. Louis. Do you know what weird thing he did? He hit a home run on opening day for the fifth consecutive opening day.
Wow.
That's a record.
That is crazy. I remember Ollie got really pissed at him for like stopping at third base like a couple years ago. And yeah, Tyler O'Neill, someone who could be good. I mean, this could be a team where all of a sudden we're like, oh, wow, a bunch of guys clicked. Like, that's where I feel like the Red Sox are. If some dudes click, they have names that if their upside hits, they could be a competitive team, but everybody's upside has to hit.
And Masataka Yoshida, chief among those, perhaps.
Yeah.
Did okay, but his outfield defense was
not loving it. So we'll see what we have in store for the Red Sox, but not loving their chances in the AL East.
All right, let's go to the Rays.
Okay, Rays going Ray.
I don't really know what to think about them, and I never do because it's a collection of no names who performs pretty good. If I had to guess, their rotation is a problem for them. Because they traded Glasnow to the Dodgers, and they weren't going to be able to keep him. His salary was $25 million. They extended Shane McClanahan, which is good, but he's out with Tommy John.
Right.
So now you're relying on Zach Eflin, who actually tied for the league lead in wins last year.
Yep, that's I know. Weird. He was on my fantasy
team.
He's
solid. Ryan Pepiot, who is
picked up from
the Dodgers.
Right.
And then you need Aaron Civale and Shane Boz to do things.
Yeah, and then Jeffrey Springs is supposed to be coming back.
Our Jeffrey Spring.
Yes, not our Jeffrey Spring. But, Jeffrey Springs is supposed to be coming back at some point early in the season, and he was looking great until I think he was also shut down with TJ. I feel like that's what I heard. So he was another guy. But the Rays are one of those where it's just like, I can't bet against the Rays because every time I look at their roster in February and I'm like, who are these people? And then they're like nine. I mean, last year they started what, 18-0, 19-0, something. I mean, they tied a record for most wins without a loss. And you know, they could just as easily do that again this year and then play 500 ball for the next 3 months and make the playoffs. So I have a hard time betting against the Rays. I don't see them finishing worse than third in the AL East. Just because I believe in their front office and their ability to kind of like scrap things together and put a lineup on the field that can get you wins.
Which is what you're supposed to do when you're an underdog.
That is correct. I mean, they are literally the money ball of like real life out here. And I think that, you know, the Wander, losing Wander Franco is, they've lost some big pieces. That's the thing. The Wander
That's
Franco
who they were
thing,
building around.
Right, exactly. I agree. I would say I'm more concerned this year than I have been previously just because of the notable injuries, but I feel like they're going to find a way no matter what to pull it out. Now, is this the Blake Snell, like, Rays? I don't think that it's the Rays that can, like, roll into the World Series and, like, almost win before Kevin Cash decides he has other ideas. But I think this is a team that can still win more than half the games this year.
You look for a wild card spot, mm-hmm. probably.
Yep, definitely. And could it be a Cinderella run? Maybe, but they're definitely not. They are no longer, in my eyes, in that top tier of teams.
Even though we're kind of maligning them as a collection of no-names who might not compete that much, talk about fun guys. Randy.
Are you feeling Randy, baby? Yeah, I love that. And they have some decent... I'm looking right now. They've got some decent guys in the back end. Pete Fairbanks is unbelievable. Zach Littell's going to be solid. Phil Maton, they got him from the Astros.
The greater.
Yeah, exactly. They always get, you know, then they just got guys. Ahmed Rosario could be decent. Jose Siri could be decent. Isak Paredes last year was really good. I mean, they do not lack young potential. So, and yep. That always has an upside. So we'll see if it works. But some of their, like, I don't know, the stalwarts that were there, like Margot, you know, and B. Lau and Josh Lau and all the kind of like dudes that I felt like really kind of like held the foundation down to allow the kind of experimenting with the younger players. Those guys are no longer there. So it's really on a lot of these young guys to have great seasons.
No doubt. Let's close out the division with the Blue Jays. Our favorite supporting actor in the Shohei Ohtani sweepstakes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think their window is still open?
I do. I think they are one of those teams that when you look at them on paper, you're just like, these guys should be really competitive every year. Just the names are recognizable to me. I mean, you still have that core. That hasn't left. You still have your infield.
Springer, Bichette, Kiermaier, right. Guerrero. You mentioned Justin Turner, and I think Justin Turner is a data point that I want to talk about here.
Okay.
The league average in pitches seen per plate appearance was 3.91. The Blue Jays saw 3.89, so just a little bit under league average. They lost Matt Chapman, who saw 4.21, one of the most patient hitters in the bigs. They just picked up Justin Turner, who sees 4.27. That dude is such a tough out because he doesn't take pitches off. He doesn't get fooled. He takes quality at-bats. And I think you look at somebody like Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who takes 3.62 pitches per plate appearance. Basically, everybody left on the Blue Jays is a relatively impatient hitter. And I think that is a bad characteristic for a team to have up and down their lineup because mm-hmm. it very frequently results in quick innings. It means that starting pitchers don't stress in the early going. The frustrating teams like the Red Sox when they had, you know, Dustin Pedroia mm-hmm. and David Ortiz. Like,
or the 2015 Kansas City Royals. That's like my
deep
crown.
Counts, dude.
I mean, their whole slogan, keep the line moving. Alcides Escobar, Eric Hosmer, Alex Gordon. I mean, Alex Gordon was another one of those guys. Like, the Royals in 2015, that's like the blueprint in my eyes for how like small market teams can succeed in the playoffs is get a bunch of pesky dudes that can give you success. And another guy, notably in my eyes, that they lost off their lineup, Whit Merrifield, I felt like was another one of those tough outs.
He doesn't hit for a whole lot of pop. He's kind of been an average and speed guy, but you can plug him in three or four different places, which makes him useful.
Well, and even just the emotional, like you said, I mean, you just gave reasons why like tough outs are important, like rather than just like a conceding, like easy three swing strikeout guy. Those guys that make the pitchers work, those little things, those matter late in games. But, you know, I look at this lineup and I really like, you know, a lot of the guys I see here. Kiermaier's still a great player. Alejandro Kirk and Dalton Varsho kind of
Kirk like, and Jansen as a catcher tandem is real strong.
Well, and Dalton Varsho, who's, I suppose, playing left field. He can catch if you need him to.
Which is so cool.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's great. And then, I mean, we haven't even talked about their rotation, which, in my eyes, the names there are really nice. Chris Bassett, I mean, he's a fantastic pitcher. Jose Berríos, he's been up and down, but when he's on, as a former Twins player, I know him kind of well. When he is on, he's ace material. Alek Manoah, another fantastic player.
With a terrible last season.
Right.
And got, he did not have a good spring training and is going to start in the minors.
And then you've got Kevin Gausman, who had a great, I mean, he's continued to pitch well.
Coming back from injury.
Yep. And then Yusei Kikuchi. So I like the names I read on paper. I feel like that's how it's been the last 5 years with the Blue Jays, is I love what I see on paper. Can they do it in the season? I think similar expectations to the Rays, but I think it's just funny like how I have similar expectations for both teams, but the Blue Jays are spending like four times more.
And I'd be more disappointed if the Blue Jays weren't.
Totally. Totally.
One out, one in. They lost Hyunjin Ryu back to the KBO, and they brought in Yariel Rodriguez to be part of their pitching staff. You didn't mention him, but they signed him for a 5-year deal, $32 million. Cool move here.
Okay.
He's a Cuban pitcher who defected to Japan and then took last year off from competitive play and now is playing in the U.S.
Wow.
Or I guess in Canada, technically.
Okay.
I think they're going to start him in the minors to, you know, ensure that his arm is ready for the workload.
Mm-hmm.
But that could really add to that pitching staff. Last year, they only had 0.6 WAR from their entire starting pitchers. 12th in the AL. That's not getting the job done.
No.
Particularly when you were already relying on your lineup quite a bit.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is I feel like the Blue Jays have been a competitive team since the Jose Bautista bat flip, and they've never really gone... I mean, they haven't even been in a World Series, and I mean, there are franchises that never do the rebuild, right? But if it was the Twins, they'd be rebuilding by now, right? And so they have this great young core. Yeah, I think the Blue Jays need a deep playoff run to be satisfied as an organization and continue to sort of push with this group that they have, because they have the means of a really good playoff running team if all those guys are clicking.
Yeah. Official Fish Golf broadcast opinion, we are rooting for Joey Votto.
Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me? I want to see that man playing every day if I can. That is a very fun pickup. And if he's playing good, I feel like in a clubhouse, he is an impactful player.
Justin Turner gets signed not only for his plate discipline, but for his leadership.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody like Joey Votto, his entire MO was plate discipline. Boy, if he gets time in the cage with some of those young guys and can talk about how to prep for various pitchers and their approaches, that is worthwhile.
Those are two fantastic mentors for a lot of young guys that have a lot of potential. So that if that works, that front office is going to be patting themselves on the back for those two moves.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm Stacey Ronsley, and I listen to the Fish Golf broadcast while I yell at my dog to get out of the water.
I'm Paul Oman, and I listen to the Fish Golf broadcast while I sip my coffee.
You know, I spent all of season one in this very ad break saying that we would never barrage you with 11 minutes of droning external ads. But lately, I've had a change of heart.
the integrity of this show absolutely has a price. We're talking lake house money, private island money, lake house on a private island money. But until that hypothetical benevolent corporate overlord speaks up, though, this show is entirely supported by your support of me and my sponsors. Fish Stamp Discraft discs are available in-store and online at daddydiscgolf.com, dischub.com, and treemagnets.com, and fishdiscgolf.com when I'm not traveling. You can save 10% at Grip Equipment with the code FISHGIFT10 at checkout, unless you're a fool who likes spending full price on disc golf bags. And of course, our name is derived from Disc Golf Bra, whose media channels and website you should visit for outstanding New England content. And now, more mutual hostility between Fish and the guest.
All right, let's go all the way west. Well, halfway west. We'll start with the Astros since we are currently recording in Houston.
That's correct. The big bad wolf, the Houston Astros.
LCS are better every year since 2017.
Unbelievable streak. I mean, they in my eyes, they are LCS until they don't make it. Like, I just, and I don't think this year is any different.
And even though the lazy baseball fan thing to do is to like boo them for cheating, we really do owe the Astros franchise a debt of gratitude for beating the Yankees multiple times in the LCS and keeping them out of the World Series.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I still partially love that Jose Altuve homer off of Chapman. I mean, I will be on here publicly. I hate the Yankees. So anybody who can beat the Yankees, I don't care how you're doing it, I'm happy. But the other thing to note is that you only have two or three of those guys from that team. I do think that a lot of that Astros hate is like just misdirected now towards guys that have never participated, weren't even on that team, weren't even in the MLB when that happened. And I personally, I don't think Altuve was partaking in the seriousness that Correa and a bunch of the other guys were. So I give the Astros a bit more of a nice lean than maybe some other people's do. But, you know, they've got guys. They got basically the whole squad back. You know, they have great pitching. Verlander, Framber, Hunter Brown, and then who's our guy? I always remember him.
Urquidy?
Urquidy's injured.
Christian Javier?
Yeah, Javier.
Rock the baby. That's,
yeah, Javier.
So Verlander is going to start the season on the IL. McCullers and Luis Garcia could be coming back about midseason from their respective injuries. The most interesting move to me is that they signed Josh Hader to 5 years, big contract, longest free agent contract signed under current ownership.
Really?
True story. They've extended players. Like, they extended Altuve another 5 years.
Okay.
So, like, OG all the way through the bad years.
Right.
Which, to me, suggests that they don't think he's done.
It was a jump scare at the beginning with Hader, but I think he settled in and did what he's supposed to do. I think that's a great addition. They lost a couple of pieces, Hector Neris, to that bullpen. That front of that lineup is unbelievable. I mean, you have Alvarez. In my eyes, he's the best hitter in baseball.
Like, yeah.
I don't think there's a debate.
Where do you throw something
you
to
don't. I mean, it's unbelievable. My favorite part was last year in the ALDS, we had the Twins had one left-handed reliever, and he topped out at like 88. But our stats guys were so convinced that we needed the lefty-lefty matchup that we brought him in the first time Alvarez came up in like the sixth inning, and I'm like screaming at the TV, like, what are we doing? This guy doesn't throw fast enough. It doesn't matter if he's left-handed. First pitch, homer, just gone. I mean, it was nuked. I mean, it wasn't, he didn't even watch the ball. So you have Alvarez, you have Altuve, Bregman, and then Kyle Tucker.
Kyle Tucker in
unbelievable.
His last year before free
agency. Yeah, unbelievable top four in that lineup. I mean, I would probably take that top four over just about any top four in baseball. I mean, maybe the Dodgers, like Betts, Freeman, Otani, but I don't know who the fourth is, and I like the Astros four better. So
sure.
I think there's a couple question marks for me. Number one is Jeremy Peña, 2022 World Series MVP, hasn't been the same since, in my eyes. Can he come back to that magic that everybody was believing in?
All we need to do since they have such a strong top end, is have him be okay. He doesn't have to be special.
No, he doesn't even need to be World Series MVP, but last year was a pretty significant regression in the Jeremy Pena that we were expecting. Mm-hmm. I think after the World Series, everybody was like, wow, I mean, we don't care about Correa anymore. Now, Correa's not playing that great, so you don't have to. But he definitely did not fill the void like they were hoping last year. Then, let's see, they finally got rid of, not got rid, they finally let Maldonado go and brought up this kid, Yainer Diaz, who's been sitting, kind of waiting for his chance. I've heard a lot of good things about him. I heard he can hit pretty well. I think they're really excited about him. Obviously, Maldonado is extremely special to that staff and that organization. I don't, like, blame them for keeping him around, but I think it will be cool to see what Yainer Diaz can do. And man, I like their rotation. I like everything. I don't see a lot of holes here. I think once they're fully healthy too, like once Luis Garcia and McCullers are back and Verlander, I mean, that is a rotation that scares me a lot because those guys at their top end are unstoppable. And even Christian Javier, who in the regular season hasn't been amazing, he has some moments when he turns on. I mean, I've heard people talk about his fastball and the way that it runs is just unbelievable. So, I mean, Astros, yeah, LCS or bust.
There you go. New manager, Joe Espada. Let's give a high five for Dusty Baker.
Fantastic career, Dusty. We love you.
Okay, we're going to talk exactly as much about the Angels as they deserve. Mike Trout asked for them to spend, and they didn't. They were never going to be able to re-sign Shohei Ohtani. Their farm system sucks, and their biggest offseason signing was Robert Stevenson in the bullpen.
Boo.
Boo. All right, we're going to talk about the A's exactly as much as they deserve. God damn it, John Fisher.
Not excited.
And moving to Las Vegas, that is a boondoggle waiting to happen. Don't do it. You are...
Isn't it too late, though?
I don't know. It's never too late if they want to.
Yeah.
If they wanted to stay in Oakland, they could. All they would have to do is make a good faith gesture instead of the bad faith gestures that they've been making for the last 25 years.
These are the types of owners we don't like, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. Okay, let's talk about the Rangers, World Series champions.
Defending champs. Man, I mean, I feel like... I mean, I want to believe in the Mariners, but I feel like this division comes down to Texas and Houston. I think the Mariners, they're just like the Blue Jays. They look on paper like they're supposed to be great, and they just don't quite put it all together. Now, who knows if that's different. But the Rangers, yeah, I love what I see. The lineup's great. Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Adolis, Evan Carter, young gun in the playoffs. I mean, he's the next Jeremy Pena kind of story.
And now everybody's more hyped about Wyatt Langford after his spring training.
Right, right. No, they, this is one of those franchises where you just have to give them claps because they went out and they spent a lot and they won. That's what you want. You want that exact repercussion. And unfortunately, in the sports world, it does not always happen that way. But as a fan base, that's what you want to see. And money getting spent and then a World Series.
This very broadcast was skeptical of all that spending because I didn't see where the other pieces were coming from. And clearly, there was a plan. I've been listening to a podcast called Deconstructing Champions. It's by this guy, Zach Scott, who was a consultant for the Red Sox and some other teams. And one of his first interviews was with GM Chris Young of the Texas Rangers and talking about what their organizational strategy was over the last few years and how they worked with their players and their executive side to come up with a coherent plan and establish a good chain of command, like all the way from the minor leagues up. I would really recommend that podcast. They've also talked about the Mookie Betts arbitration hearings. About the Mets offseason in 21-22. It's been really interesting to hear some of the business side from people who actually know what they're talking about. Like,
yeah.
You and I don't have a window into this.
We're just fans.
We're rereading, you know, whatever our columnists on The Athletic or Defector or local blogs are writing about.
Right, right, right. But when I look at this lineup, I mean, I love Adolis. I think they got a couple new guys, Ezekiel Duran, interested to see where they put him. But yeah, I think. Oh, and they got Jared Walsh. Ooh, that could be interesting from the Angels.
The pitching staff is the part that worries me, because, like, let's talk about men made of glass: Max Scherzer, Jacob DeGrom, Nate Eovaldi.
Yeah. And we don't even have Scherzer and DeGrom yet.
Yeah.
It's just Eovaldi and John Gray.
And Tyler Molly. They signed him as a free agent.
Oh, yeah. Minnesota's own.
And David Robertson as a free agent. I think that's a pretty decent pickup. You know, that'll shore up some of the, like, swing innings.
Yep. But I love the hitters on the... And you know what? Andrew Heaney, I feel like, can also do some swinging as some swing yeah. innings as mm-hmm. well. But, you know, I love the Josh Young, Jonah Heim,
Gold Glover.
Oh,
really,
he's
good catcher.
Unbelievable. Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, Tavares. I think that the guys are going to hit. It's, can they play good enough until they get those two big glass arm aces back? And can those guys stay healthy? Because if those dudes pitch the way that we know they can pitch, I mean, that's a completely different Rangers team.
Yeah, it's almost like I don't care what they do through July.
Yeah.
If those guys are healthy in September and October.
If they can hang on, and then those, I mean, that's the Rangers, right? Like, hang on, get into the playoffs, and have those two dudes ready to go, look out. They won the World Series without, like, DeGrom at all, and some of Scherzer, but not a lot of great Scherzer, and
as I recall, not winning a single game at home.
Right.
That's so weird.
Yeah. So the Rangers, you know, I love what they've done the last 3 or 4 years. Honestly, I mean, they were in a place that we would compare them with Oakland and other, like, kind of seller teams. And they've now created, like, a force to be reckoned with. And I think they will be.
Okay. There you go. Mariners. I feel kind of the opposite about them, where their rotation has some serious potential. And pretty reliable potential, because it's deep and strong. George Kirby, Bryce Miller, Brian Wu, Luis Castillo, like, those guys are good. But Jerry Dipoto opened his damn mouth and said they're trying to win, you know, 54% of their games over 10 years just to squeak into the playoffs. And that dude just won't stop trading pieces. So they kept J.P. Crawford, sorry, not Brandon Crawford, Julio Rodriguez, Cal Raleigh, and Ty France, and then just shuffled everybody else.
Mitch Haniger.
Came back.
Mitch Garver.
Signed as free agent.
Julio, or Jorge Polanco.
What do we expect out of Polanco at second base?
I like Jorge Polanco a lot. I think he plays a decent second base. I wouldn't say his defense is definitely not his forte, but we, as a Twins fan, we enjoyed his hitting. I liked him. He's a switch hitter. He can hit for power. He's had some years where he was, like, looking at MVP votes. So it's kind of a coin flip. What version of him are you going to get? But yeah, they got some interesting guys. Luke Rayleigh, Josh Rojas. That's from the Snakes.
Yeah, he was picked up as part of the Paul Sewald deal last year.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, and now
some losses there. They traded Jared Kelenic, who probably just needed a change of scenery. He's now in Atlanta. I don't know how he's going to do.
We'll see.
But, like, it just seemed like he didn't have a good path in Seattle. They also traded Eugenio Suarez, who led the league in strikeouts at least once while he was in Seattle, but also hit a bunch of home runs. Mm-hmm. And that's a very power-starved team in a stadium that is pitcher-friendly.
Yeah, your power guys are your catcher, Cal Raleigh. You know, Mitch Garver, another catcher, but sure, he's a power guy. Mitch Haniger, another power guy.
But,
and,
like,
Julio. But, I mean, that's not... I wouldn't say any of those guys are, like, noteworthy big power guys.
No. They're not. Their TV deal, as is the Rangers, is a little bit uncertain moving forward. But, you know, moving Kelenic and Suarez seem a lot like salary dumps. And their biggest offseason acquisition was Gregory Santos, a reliever who's now injured.
Mm-hmm.
I
still like this team, though. I love the lineup when I look at it on paper. I'm a big Mitch Garver guy. I think Mitch Garver is going to be a very welcome addition to that team. I was really bummed when we gave him away to Texas, and he was good, not only in the regular season, but the postseason for the Rangers last year. Mitch Garver is, I think, Seattle fans should be more excited about him than maybe they think. I like Ty France. I like a lot of the dudes in their lineup. I think it's a matter of like how many good teams can they beat, because I feel like they're going to beat a lot of the bad teams pretty easily. How competitive can you be? What is your record at the end of the regular season against teams with an above 500 record? Yeah. That's what I want
to
see.
At a minimum, they have to get into the playoffs.
Like, oh, absolutely.
If they don't, this is a disappointment.
They are more desperate than the Blue Jays. They're in this very similar position, but with less success in the past in the playoffs.
Yep. Okay, let's go over to the last division. We'll talk about all the teams that matter. I want to start with the Tigers. It seems like the baseball writers are kind of up on the Tigers, and they were pretty junk for a while, and their high draft picks in the last decade haven't really paid off.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see?
I mean, you know, in my childhood, it was always like the what could have been with the Tigers. So many good pitchers came out of Detroit, right? Jordan Zimmermann, Justin Verlander, Max Scherzer, David Price. Yeah, I mean, they had J.D. Martinez, they had Victor Martinez, they had Miguel Cabrera. I mean, it's funny because you should hate your teams in division. I was really sad when they lost that World Series. Like, I want to see those franchises have something to hold on to. I mean, that World Series can keep your fan base happy for 15 years, you know? And it was really sad to see that. But there are some interesting guys here. I mean, the Baez move, man, I mean, that was a Tigers move, it felt like. Just sort of like, wow, I mean, he has not been what they want.
And that was totally foreseeable.
Right.
Okay, you're the pitcher. You got Javi Baez up. Let's say you can throw any pitch in the game. What are you going to throw him?
Just a breaking ball.
Slider low and away.
Breaking ball.
It's going to work.
But we've got some interesting, there are some interesting names on this roster. Spencer Torkelson, everybody likes that guy.
Yep.
And I think he has been a great player. Gio Urshela. He is a guy that could have a decent season. He played decent for the Twins. He was at the Angels. He was always pretty solid with the Yankees. I like Zach McKinstry. I think he's solid. Let's see.
Mark Canha is a good, solid pickup.
Yes, like, Mark Canha. I like that.
Talk about guys who are patient hitters. Like, he gets the job done.
Mm-hmm. Riley Green. People are liking him. And then this rotation is actually kind of interesting. There's actually some names here that could pop off. Jack Flaherty, right? Highly touted. Hasn't been the same with the Cardinals or the Orioles. Had some injury issues. He could be a good...
Yeah. Cy Young votes in 2019, and he's still in his 20s.
Yeah, he could be a fantastic pitcher. Kenta Maeda. We traded for him from the Dodgers, and he balled out before he had... Was it TJ as well?
I can't remember.
Something like that. So he could be another guy that I could see doing... Pretty solid. They have...
The one that we really should be talking about is Tarik Skubal.
Yes, Tarik Skubal. That's exactly who I was about to mention. That guy, I think, you know, he's come up through their system. I think they like him a lot. I would say that the Tigers are... I mean, you, as the Tigers, I think you can comfortably hunt a playoff run. Like, try it. This is a squad that could click and do it.
I think there's too much in the East and West that are going to get... wild card spots.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not a team that's going to get 90 games. But if you can pick off the Twins and the Royals and Guardians kind of scuffle, then, like, maybe you can win the division with 86, 87.
I mean, the AL mid, I feel like, is always up for grabs. And it's whichever team really commits the most and has the best clubhouse belief. And in recent years, I feel like the Guardians have done a really good job of that. And the Twins... have always kind of spent more and not done as good of a job. I feel like the Twins look in a... Now, I'm not directly comparing them, but if we went to an AL East comparison, it feels to me like the Guardians are like the Rays and the Twins are like the Yankees, where we just like buy guys and then it doesn't work out. But yeah, I think it's a cool squad in Detroit. I'm excited to see what they can do. And then H.A. Hinch, I believe in him. I think he's a good manager. So... if anyone was going to take over a group of those young guys, I like A.J. Hinch at the helm.
Yeah, yeah. And even if it doesn't work out this year, you know, they just had Miggy come off the books. That's a lot of salary that wasn't being very productive, which you knew was going to happen at the end of that long contract. But they just extended Colt Keith, who hit 932 OPS in high minors last year. Jackson Job might be on the way. Like, this is a team that's going to have long-term flexibility with cost-controlled players. in that division, they better be competitive in 25-26.
Yep.
Otherwise, the rebuild was a failure.
Yes, and I think that leaves this year as not a ridiculously pressured year, but as a year that you should show, like, steps forward.
Yep.
Onward.
Let's talk about the Guardians, since you brought them up.
Okay.
They are behaving very much like a small market team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have good pitching. They don't have all the pitchers they used to have.
But their pipeline is outstanding. Mm-hmm. Like, where...
They are the AL mid Rays. I mean, they just pull pitchers out of nowhere.
And that's Shane Bieber making his fifth opening day start. Mm-hmm. Tristan McKenzie is... Yeah. Boy, that guy is
the
fun.
Twig.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like... How great is baseball that somebody with the Tristan McKenzie or Chris Sale body type exists, as does Daniel Vogelbach or Rowdy Tellez?
Yeah, Pablo Sandoval. Another interesting note, manager this year, Stephen Vogt.
Let me tell you my Stephen Vogt story.
All right.
I was watching an O's game in Waverly Brewing in Baltimore. It's a great brewery. Terrible hours, though. And Stephen Vogt, like, late career, age 37, hitting 189 or something, comes up. And he's got a beard and it's grizzled. And he still looks like a hulking guy. He's batting from the left side. And the lefty swing is just so pretty. It doesn't matter who's doing it. And a couple guys next to me are like, man, I wouldn't want to face this guy. And it's like, wow. No, this is the guy you want up. Mm-hmm. Out of anybody in the world, like, you want late career Stephen Vogt. But as a manager, like, he was so well-regarded for his ability to handle pitchers. There's a reason that so many managers get tracked in from catching.
Yeah, David Ross, Stephen Vogt. I mean...
Bob Brindley.
Right, and look at
Joe
how...
Torre.
Yeah, how long they kept Maldonado around, even when his production wasn't there, right? I mean, there is something to be said about having a relationship with the staff that's a big deal. But, you know, they have the usual suspects, right? Jose Ramirez is still... holding down the anchor. We got the Naylor brothers, who are way more dangerous than most people give them credit for. Mm-hmm.
Andres Jimenez, Stephen Kwan.
Stephen Kwan is great, and Jimenez. I mean, those are the pesky dudes that you were mentioning. The Blue Jays could use a couple Andres Jimenezes in their life, I
absolutely.
Think. So, you know, and then, you know, on the back end, you know, they brought back Carlos Carrasco. Great, great reunion. He's going to come in and star. That'll be cool.
I don't know how much he has left in the tank.
Yeah, and then who is our... We got Shane Bieber. We got
Tanner
Beebe.
Gavin Williams, Logan Allen.
Mm-hmm, like those guys are good. And then Class A is, you know, arguably the best reliever in the game. So yeah. I think these guys are going to compete for a division title. I think they are... If they make the playoffs, they're going to be a really annoying team to face.
The talent is there. I wish that they would... be willing to spend to tack on a real power hitter. Like,
totally.
There's no power in this lineup.
Totally. I mean, I think they are going to miss Carlos Santana more than they realize.
All right, let's go to the Royals.
All right.
I kind of feel like a little bit like the Tigers with them. They did the right thing as a franchise mm-hmm. to extend Bobby Witt Jr. Mm-hmm. to a huge, long deal.
Mm-hmm.
That shows that they are... You know, it might be in service of trying to get a new stadium to sway the emotional barometer that way, but that's at least what you want your franchise to do. Lock down the homegrown talent.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, they did add some guys in the offseason. We got Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, some guys who have upsides. And then they had a couple guys who actually pitched halfway decent last year. One of them...
I know who you're going to say.
Brady Singer. That's who I was going to say.
Okay. Interesting. I was going to say Cole Reagans.
Yes. Brady Singer and Cole Reagans both had surprisingly decent years. And then if Lugo and Wacha can click, that's a rotation right there. I mean, that might be a more legit rotation than a lot of teams have.
Yeah, no doubt. And they got a couple other pieces that you'd like to see... some continued growth and improvement from Vinny Pasquantino, MJ mm-hmm. Melendez.
Mm-hmm. Salvador Perez is still there.
Yeah.
Adam Frazier is a notable name for me. I think he's had decent seasons.
Little bit down with the Mariners tenure, I think.
Mm-hmm. I definitely don't like these guys as much as I like Hunter Renfro. I definitely don't like these guys as much as I like the Tigers, but I think they're in a similar spot where there isn't a ton of pressure to perform insanely well this year, but it definitely needs to be a step in the right direction for them.
Yeah, and I don't know how much their minor leagues are bringing up lately.
Not great.
It's not great.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go on to the Twins. And I'll kind of just let you riff here. I have not a whole lot to say here.
My boys.
I do have something to say. You beat the Yankees in the playoffs.
That was so amazing. We were 0 for 18 before that. So we got rid of the monkey. And I got to watch it. I was so happy. Wow. I mean, the next 3 years can be a complete failure, and I'll be happy because we won playoff series. So
I don't think you should root for that in particular. So
no.
Byron Buxton, back to center field.
That is a move. I think it's good. I hope he doesn't get injured. I feel like we have definitely the best roster on paper of any team in the AL Central. I think we are in a much more pressure situation than any other team in the AL mid. We have spent way more money than anybody else in the AL mid. So there's definitely expectations of competing in the division, if not winning it, and now building on what happened last year, right? I mean, you can't just like, that can't be the final end for the Twins, right? I mean, that's the goal in the clubhouse. Interesting additions, a couple guys, nothing that like really sort of blew me out of the water, but, Carlos Santana, interesting. What's notable to me is more like who we lost, which is some pitchers, Sonny Gray.
Tell me what you think about an 8-8 pitcher getting second place in the AL Cy.
I felt like he was a little bit overrated last year. He had a great season, but I think because I had him on my fantasy team, so I was actually acutely aware of his stats. I never started him against an above 500 team.
He definitely outperformed his FIP quite a bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think he basically just got some good ground balls to the right side of, and the balls that were hit went to people instead of spaces. And I think he pitched solid, but it just looks way better than it really was. So I don't think that's a huge blow, but we just don't have a lot else going. Pablo Lopez is obviously like the ace.
Oh yeah.
Great. Don't feel bad about that trade, even though I love Luis Arias.
Lopez is a lot better piece to build around.
Well, and he is a lot better for the Twins. Yeah. We weren't in need exactly of a Luis Arias. We have lots of good hitters, and Edward Julian definitely kind of like just basically filled that role for us. He's been unbelievable. This season for me hinges on our superstars, which for me, there's three in the lineup: Royce Lewis, Byron Buxton, and Carlos Correa. Can they perform at a star or superstar level? Like, Carlos Correa has been paid way, way, way too much money to continue to do what he's doing. And I understand he had plantar fasciitis last year, and I understand that his clubhouse impact was still unbelievable, and the way he's with these young guys, that's great. That's awesome. We're paying you $220 million, dude. I can't have you hitting 230. Like, that's just not acceptable. He needs to come out and have a good year if the Twins want to do well. He needs to be a leader. Like, if we wanted you to be a leader in the clubhouse, like, come be a bench coach, right? Like, lead with examples as well. And I appreciate, all the stuff he's done for those young guys. But him and Byron and Royce Lewis, I mean, I'm putting pressure on Royce Lewis based on what I saw last year by calling him a superstar, but I feel like he is. So I think those three guys really need to ball out. And man, I mean, the pitching is definitely, I feel like we're the type of team where Pablo Lopez, Bailey Ober, Chris Paddock, Joe Ryan, he could have a year, Louis Varland. I mean, it's a lot of young guys, a lot of question marks in Pablo Lopez, basically. So it's a lot of guys who, if they have a good upside, we could have a great rotation. But I could see us maybe making a move at the deadline. But yeah, I mean, I would say the thing I'm most impressed with the Twins looking at their roster is like the young talent that they've brought up. Matt Wallner he was good last year. Louis Varland was good. Obviously, Royce Lewis is from our own system. Ryan Jeffers is from our own system. He's been great. Max Kepler is from our own system. And an interesting one, we got Manuel Margot from the Rays. So,
yeah, shipped off twice.
Yeah, Margot and Carlos Santana are like the notable additions to the team. And yeah, I mean, obviously, I know these guys and I have a bit of a bias, but I think that we have a lot of good hitters. And I think it really hinges on those superstars, like, grabbing the torch and leading the team. That's what we've always needed since before the Joe Mauer days. I mean, I love Joe Mauer, and it's fantastic that he made the Hall of Fame, but the guy that you're paying $184 million a year to hit singles and not say anything in the clubhouse, I mean, you need somebody. That's why the Justin Turners and the Joey Vottos are valuable. So I want our big boys to grab the torch and lead the team by example.
All right, there you have it. Challenging words from Twins fan Joey Tamale.
That's right.
All right, so there's going to be 6 playoff teams, right? 3 division winners and 3 wild cards.
Okay.
Ready, set, go.
All right. Houston, Texas, Twins, Orioles, Rays, Mariners.
All right. Now, out of that mess, who makes it to the World Series?
Houston.
Okay.
I can't bet against them.
All right, Joey, thank you so much for your time. Enjoy your baseball watching for the next 6.5 months.
Yeah, I hope we get to go to some games together. That's what I was thinking about yesterday. I was like, me and Fish need to go to some games together. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Unfortunately, I don't know how cooperative the Pro Tour season is this year.
The next best chance, I think, is right after Champions Cup in St. Louis on the way to DDO.
Alas,
that was my best one.
Alas, I won't be able to make it.
Yeah. Well, we can do some late season stuff. Yeah, yeah. So I really appreciate you having me on. I always love talking baseball. Yeah, it's going to be an exciting season. I look forward to seeing how it all plays out.
All right. And check out Joey's baseball themed jersey from Cardinal.
Yes, please go check it out at cardinaldiscgolf.com.
That's a wrap on this week's Fish Golf broadcast. Join us next week to fritter away more of your ever-waning life force on two jabronis talking about Frisbee. Please support the show, if you're able, by shopping for Fish Stuff at fishdiscgolf.com, Daddy Disc Golf, Disc Hub, Tree Magnets, and Disc Golf Bras websites. You can still save 10% at Grip Equipment with the code FISHGIFT10, and please tell a friend about this show. Unless you don't have any friends, but that's your problem, not mine.